Expected from Richard, obviously. Sorry, Richard. However, what I suggest that we do is that we do start the next session now, and we might, well, the ladies will shut the doors if we're making too much noise, I'm sure of it. But we might start this session so more of an information session, this one, compared to the last two very much interactive sessions that we've had. However, I'm hoping, Richard, that this will be interactive. What we have got is, in the papers, we've got the minutes from the November meeting of the trustees. Unfortunately, as I said earlier, we have no trustees here with us today, so Richard is going to take us through an update on trustees' activities. As I intimated earlier, there was a meeting at the end of January, exactly a month ago, in Hong Kong, which was cold for Hong Kong, but it wasn't this temperature. And I was at that meeting. There are perhaps a couple of comments that I might make as an introduction from me without stealing Richard's thunder, that at that meeting I gave an update on the Advisory Council report, effectively, that came out at the end of this meeting, and there was certainly a lot of interest in that, and particularly from the new trustees. As I said earlier, there are seven new trustees, and I think it would be fair to say, and whether Richard comments on this or not, I would say they'd bring a slightly different perspective to the trustees than the other trustees, whether just because they're newbies and they're trying to get to grips with it, or whether in fact they have a different view on the role. It will be interesting in the future, but they are certainly really interested in what we did, the role that we played, and in particular around the future of financial reporting and the technology session that we had. And I provided them, at their request, with a copy of the meeting summary that I gave at the end of our meeting last time. And we have agreed that I would provide a copy of the summary notes that I give at the end of our session to them as just bullet points, aide memoirs, for their information going forward. In terms of the discussion there, a number of the topics referred to the Advisory Council. Either we had given advice on something or would give advice in the future on something, for example, the due process handbook, which I'm sure Richard will talk about, that will come to this council for thought. So I certainly came away both personally rewarded, felt in terms of having been there, I thought it was rewarding. I got something personally out of it, but I also got, I think, in terms of helping for the Advisory Council, stuff out of it for me. And I think that we can all be pleased that there is value from the input from this body into their deliberations. So I think that that is a positive reflection on both the agenda items that we have and how we deal and pass on that information. Now, Richard, having said I won't steal your thunder, I will now pass across to you, but I may add comments at the end in terms of any personal reflections on what happened at the meeting.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Excuse me. The first point, obviously, to make is that Michelle Prada really did want to be and intended to be here and had to pull out very late last week. So you'll get me for the whole of the session, not just the Due Process Oversight Committee. The meeting in January was relatively close to the previous meeting in November. That was just how the dates fell for the trustees. And in the middle, of course, was Christmas. So the agenda was really relatively light for this meeting. Some of the key highlights. First, the trustees spent some time on some corporate governance issues around their own arrangements. They reviewed and revised their terms of reference for committee meetings. And probably most interestingly for you, they agreed that it would be appropriate to consider extending the maximum term that the chair of the trustees can have as chair. Currently, it's 6 years. The trustees agreed that it would be appropriate to extend that to a maximum of 9 years, which would include up to 9 years as chair, or if someone were appointed to the chair who was already a trustee, one 3-year term as a trustee, and 2 3-year terms as chair. That is really because we benefit hugely from that continuity of experience and leadership. And with now only 3 trustees meetings a year, there is less actual active engagement in those meetings than there was before. And this is something that Michelle felt was important and needed to be done before the change of chair, because then there's no conflict. So we will be producing a draft consultative paper and proposed amendments to the constitution for the next meeting, and then of course we will publicly consult on that. So those were the bigger of the governance issues. There were one or two others, but those are still in play.
Sorry, Richard, I'm going to interrupt you right now, and I shouldn't do this. However, we should probably say Michelle Prada is still the chair of the trustees. When we met last time, Michelle was an apology at our meeting, and I read out to you his words of "this would be my last meeting," etc., 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 because he was due to be replaced. However, there has not yet been found a new chair, so Michelle has stayed on, and it has been agreed that he will stay on until a new chair is found.
So yeah, you're quite right. I should have mentioned that. It's because I know it, I just forget that other people don't. We discussed the plan for the Asia OCR new office, which needs to be renewed and reassessed. So we have a discussion of the work plan for 2018, and this will be supported in due course by a more detailed implementation plan that's being developed. The trustees agreed that the objective of the Asia OCR office to support and facilitate adoption of IFRS standards and to build technical capacity by enhancing the reputation and understanding of IFRS standards in Japan to increase the number of companies applying the standards, supporting the adoption of IFRS standards and their application in the wider region by ensuring effective communication and acting as a conduit for activities, and supporting the education activities and increasing awareness of the board standard setting activities. So that's the overarching intention. The more detailed work plan will follow and will partly be driven by the proposal to appoint a new director for the office, as Mitsuhiro Takemura will be going back to Deloitte when his secondment ends very soon. The trustees received an analysis of organisational expenditure. The trustees had asked us at their previous meeting to give a better sense of where resources are allocated across the staff and how that allocation helps to deliver on our standard setting agenda. And this analysis was produced, very well received, and we will continue to enhance that over time. We talked about locations for next year's meetings. So far we've only decided that the first meeting next year in 2019 will be in Brussels at the end of January. And just in case you aren't aware, the next meeting of the trustees will be in London in June this year, and then we will be meeting in Johannesburg in October. So we've just set one meeting so far for next year, and the others will follow. As ever, there were reports from a number of committees, the Due Process Oversight Committee, which I'll come back to. The Education Content Services Committee received presentations on content services and the education issues. The Human Capital and Nominating Committee discussed various relatively confidential issues. The Audit and Finance Committee reviewed the 2017 flash results against budget, the draft budget for next year, and the 3-year plan. We are showing a draft unaudited surplus for the year in excess of budget, and this is largely because of foreign exchange gains. Most of our income is in euros or US dollars or other non-UK countries, currencies. Most of our expenditure is in sterling. The sterling has dropped, and so we've made gains. Many of those gains are unrealised, much of it is hedged, many are unrealised, and they will reverse over time. But it's showing a significant surplus, and we've had 2 or 3 key senior positions that have been unfilled for much of the period. We now, of course, have an executive technical director, Nilly, and we're about to appoint a new executive director, but for a long time those two positions and others were vacant. So that too has given us a bigger surplus than was budgeted. On the other hand, we have some significant expenditure coming up. As you know, we're moving. We're moving in August to Canary Wharf. Clearly, there's a cost to doing that. And we need to be thinking hard about how our standard setting activities will change as we move into a more digital technological world. And we need reserves for that. Um, there were, as always, some very useful meetings in the margins or during the trustees' meeting. As Joanna said, that she joined us for much of the meeting and made a very interesting presentation and otherwise contributed to the meeting, so that was really good. That's another way of putting it. I've lost my track. Yes, we had a meeting with the Asia-Oceania Standard Setters Group, which we do when we meet in Asia, and that was very useful. And there was a very successful stakeholder event and dinner entitled Hong Kong and IFRS Past, Present and Future, which was held on one of the evenings of the meeting.
Sorry, and I am going to interrupt now and just check. Mark, is that still on the webcast?
Yes, if you go to the homepage of the website, there's a link to it. There's a very interesting discussion, actually.
Because the panel discussion at that dinner, and Hans was part of that, there were four, it was I was expecting it to be boring. It was actually really interesting. So I do encourage you, and Mark, we might send round the how to find it, because I do encourage you to listen to it. It was really interesting and informative.
It was, and I really enjoyed it. And it says something about all of us in this room that there was a very interesting discussion about investment properties in Hong Kong. You think, that was interesting, but blimey. Anyway, I enjoyed it. There was something else, yes. The strategic work plan. Now, the strategic work plan sets out our strategic goals and some underpinning methods for seeking to deliver on those goals. And I mentioned this to the new trustees, to the new advisory council members yesterday. We updated that, and we expect to further update that when the new executive director arrives. But the reason I'm emphasising it is that you may remember that last year we had a very, very good debate here about the reputation survey that we undertook, and the intention there of coming up with some key performance indicators for our qualitative objectives. The quantitative ones are easy. It's easy for us to measure how many countries use the standards. It's much more difficult for us to measure how well people understand what we're doing and how much they think we're engaging with them. And that reputation survey starts to drive better quality key performance indicators. So it was quite interesting that we've updated that, and we'll be coming back to you on that, I'm sure. That's everything on the main trustees meeting. Any questions? If not, I'll just talk a bit about the due process oversight committee. Well, the due process oversight committee, as I'm sure you know, is the only committee of the trustees that meets in public, and it has done for just over a year now. We had a public meeting. We have had people turn up to watch. There weren't any this time. People do listen to the debate either live or later, and you can still listen to that meeting on our website. Again, a relatively quiet time for the committee in terms of their normal responsibility for assessing our due process. But importantly, we did spend quite a bit of time on the proposed review of the due process handbook. Now, this was the second time they discussed it. The first time we said in November we're planning to do a review of the handbook. This time we set out in rather more detail the scope and broad timetable for that work. And those papers are on our website, and we will be coming back to you in September with quite a bit more detail on that. The effects analysis discussion this morning will inform that. Our expectation is that this will take us through until 2020. On the timetable, the committee felt that we'd allowed a little bit too much time for public comment. We'd proposed 180 days for comment. They felt that that might just change perceptions and make this look like a more radical change to the handbook than we're actually planning. So we think that will be 120 days, but we still think that the whole exercise will be finished sometime in early 2020. And this is about evolution, not revolution. This is about taking our existing high-quality, robust, transparent due process and just making sure that it still meets our needs as we move into another period of change for the foundation. The last review was undertaken in 2013. One of the drivers for this review was the comments we got on the reputation survey that sometimes standard setting appears to take too long. Now, we also got comments back that said, but please do not change your underlying due process. So there's a tension there which we will start to explore. Some things we know we can do as part of this. We can simplify the handbook. It's not always that easy to find your way around it. It's like a sometimes like an old-fashioned computer tape as opposed to a disk. If you want to find anything, you have to start at the beginning and work through until you get to it. So we can make that easier to navigate. We can deal with some of the anomalies about job titles. Some of the due process requirements around education materials appear to be out of step with some of the other requirements. We can address that. There are some interesting issues about the relationship between the Interpretations Committee and the Board and the extent to which issues move across the two. That we will have on the list. And then some more fundamental issues, again in the context of evolution, about what is a comment letter. We no longer expect people to write long letters, sign them and stick them in envelopes. Most letters now come in via email. But there are questions about whether a detailed comment letter is more important than a shorter comment, maybe from Twitter, maybe elsewhere. How much transparency we need about that process? How do we best capture people's views and make sure that they help us on the standard setting? So that's on the list. Those are the major issues. We will be coming back in September to ask you for views in more detail, but any thoughts people have on this are very, really very welcome. So if there's things that already you're thinking, please let us know. And we will, of course, engage with all of the key bodies that are major stakeholders in our due process to make sure that we're picking up the issues. So that's most of what we've talked about. Is there anything else I missed?
I think from my perspective, you covered it. Neely, Hans, anything from your perspective? And Richard, just in terms of you say provide feedback now if people do have some thoughts, are you just email you straight around any comments that they've got?
I've wondered whether we should have a sort of an inbox, but those things tend to get spam in them, so probably not. But yeah, we will be reaching out more formally, but you know, if there are things you look at the handbook and think, if only that was slightly different, life would be easier. We're certainly interested in that. But always in that context of us saying it works pretty well. We don't intend to rewrite that.
And the intention is that we will have a review, a look at that at our next meeting.
Yep.
Yep. Any other comments or questions on trustees? How they operate or how any other ideas from what Richard said of... or perhaps keep this for our session at the end of tomorrow for future agenda items arising out of those discussions from the trustees.